Psalm 25. Last 3 weeks it was Psalm 22, 1 week Psalm 23, the next and Psalm 24. So we did one psalm a week. That's going to take 3 years to get through Psalm. So we're going to double the output, and we're going to do Psalm 25 and Psalm 26. Okay. So brace for impact. Hold on to your hat. We're going to be going fast and furious. Not really. Psalm 25, and I'll read through all 22 verses, and we'll go back and we'll look at it. It's a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. A couple of recurring ideas here. And as we get to them, hopefully. It says a prayer for guidance and protection on my Bible, because that was just supplied by the people who published the Bible. That's fair enough. I wouldn't disagree with that. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Good start. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Is a continuing, it keeps on. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. Now, we don't know the time of this writing. Sometimes it says, you know, when he fled from Absalom, when he went to Abimelech and he feigned that he was mad. You remember that? Some of the things that, you know, when he went out against the Philistines, some of them, they're told when he wrote the song. Here, we don't know. So let me not be ashamed, let me not be ashamed, let me not be ashamed, let me not be ashamed. Is there a reason for him to be ashamed? I think so. I think this is after the Delilah incident. I got Samson on my brain. This was after him and Bathsheba, perhaps, but not necessarily, because there's a lot of times when a guy does something wrong, not necessarily that. That's shameful. Now, maybe you've never cheated on your spouse. I don't care who you are or what, how long you've lived with the Lord. If I were to put your deepest, darkest moments and we would put them up on the TV for all to see, all of us would slink out of here and just go and hide and put ourselves in a hole and mail the hole to China. We don't want to be ashamed. We don't want our sins to follow us. And many times he's praying to the Lord, God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. Let me not be, it's not that I haven't done things that are shameful. He's saying, you know, even though I have, I don't want to pay the penalty. Jesus pays the penalty for our sins. If you paid it, it would look like hell, literally. By the way, I should mention this is an acrostic. It's an acrostic. All the different verses start with a different letter through the Hebrew alphabet, probably for memorization purposes. There are several. We've already gone over one. I think there's 9 acrostics in Psalms or something like that. And this is one of them, if you're keeping score. I usually don't give you that stuff because I'm thinking, like, One, it's not written in Hebrew. I mean, it is written in Hebrew. We don't study it in Hebrew, so we're not really, we're nonplussed by the first verse, starts off with an aleph. And by the way, the first two verses kind of carry the same idea. They both start off with an aleph, and it's not till verse 3 we get the second letter, with which is Beth. And then, you know, Gimel is the third letter. And so it goes like that all the way down through. And there's another repeating, I can't remember where. Both of them, I think it's verse 18 and 19, both start off with a resh, which is kind of like our R, letter R. You know, the letter I always drop at the end of words. I don't really like to pronounce it, that letter. So anyway, you know, and you can study these things out for yourself. I like it what it says in English, and I speak English. Well, kind of I do. But anyway, so what he's saying is the things that I think I want to, you know, emphasize. I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Who's his enemies? Is Absalom in the picture? Is Saul in the picture? Or is it just Philistines in general? Is it just one of the many people? And, you know, David's a warrior. He's gone against many enemies. And or is he just saying in general, it's not a question of sin. It's a question of, listen, I'd hate to lose. I'd hate to be in somebody's procession, somebody's victory parade as a captive. Don't let me be ashamed that way. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Or is he talking in a spiritual way? I don't know. The chances of people coming into America and overtaking it and you being caught up in somebody's triumphal entry parade back to their own city are pretty... I don't go to bed worrying about that every night. I don't know about you. I'm not suggesting that you do. Do your enemies have victory over you? Do they, you know, we're all in that battle, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our wrestling match is against principalities, against powers, heavy duty stuff. Do they have the victory over you? Are you there bragging rights? He's saying, I don't want to ever let that happen to me, because my trust is in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Can the enemies of God triumph over you when you're trusting in him? Well, we studied through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the entire book of Joshua, and the entire book of Judges. Every time they went out and they trusted in the Lord, it didn't matter if it was the Ethiopians and a million-man army coming against, who was it, Asa or Josiah or Jehoshaphat, I don't remember. But they trusted in the Lord. We have the Assyrians coming against Hezekiah. You remember the story? It was bad. They were just like, you know, coming down from the north, and they were just, everything in their way was desolate. The northern kingdom, they had taken it all captive. They were 23-0 or whatever. They were running the table. They come against Hezekiah. Hezekiah trusts in the Lord. He says, Lord, bad things are happening. I'm scared to death. Can you help us out here? And God's like, yeah, sure, no sweat. You remember Joshua? Go in, possess the land. And they're like one battle to the next, and they're not even losing people as they trust in God. Listen, I have an idea how your battles will go better. Trust in God. Will he let you be ashamed? Will your enemy triumph over you? I don't think so. I think enemy triumphing over me is very, very particular. What I didn't do, what I failed to do, was trust in God. Sometimes I'd be stupid and trust in the arm of my own flesh. I don't recommend that. I don't care how strong you are. That's a fool's game right there. I said before, Satan laughs at our white knuckles. Well, I'm just going to huff and puff, and you're going to be ridiculous is what you're going to do. Or, either I didn't, I trusted in myself, or I just simply didn't seek the Lord. I didn't put my trust, I didn't put any confidence in him. Was there shame? Yeah, yeah, always. Oh, yeah. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. His brother was going through a tough time, and I mailed him a verse earlier in the week. I get, you know, that what I do is on you... What's that? You version of Bible there. It's, and there's a daily, and usually I send it to somebody, and they that, you know, wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. They shall, you know, run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I sent it to a brother like, keep on keeping on. Keep trusting. It's always a good word. Wait on the Lord. When's he going to show up? Just like the in the move the old movies, like the you know the U.S. Cavalry when the Indians are bearing down on the overwhelming the cowboys, and then the cavalry shows up right in the nick of time, never a second late. God's like that. He won't be early, but he's never late. And he wants you to wait on him. I don't know. that's how he is. That's you know what that is? That's his way. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. You know, don't let me be ashamed. Let them be ashamed. You know, the bad guys. That's what he's saying. You're our God. You're not their God. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. That's the idea. You know, like people come over and try to take over our land. Like you know what it was with, you remember David with Goliath? You remember that? Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is? What's the circumcision all about? Covenant. We're your covenant people, Lord. They're not your covenant people. They're Philistines. They don't belong here. This is the land that you promised to us. You didn't promise them. So when he's saying uncircumcised, he's saying they're not the covenant people. You're not on their team. You're on our team. Think like that. Oh, you want a New Testament verse? God is for us. Who can be against us? Just an idea. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways. Let's camp out here for a little while, shall we? The ways of the Lord. We're going to see this several times during this psalm. Remember that old Billy Joel song, She's Got a Way? You remember that? You remember that? You remember that yodeling Slim Whitman song, She's Got a Way? Trying to engage Ron. I'll sing it for you. She's got a way about her, don't know what it is. Sound like familiar? What's the next spot? But I know that I can't live without her. Right? It's old Billy Joel song. Listen, my wife has a way about her. She has a way. Like, okay, we're playing Jeopardy or any game like with buzzers, and okay, the board is Sue's. I'm winning. I'm going home with the prize that night, okay? She's got a way, and I know her way. After 35 years. More than anybody else, but not like I should, okay? Women would love their husbands to get a degree in them. I want to get my master's degree in Sue's. I want to know her way, okay? Now, if we're playing this game, a few women, if I'm playing against a couple women, they'll get a question right every once in a while, just based on the fact that they're women and I'm not, and I haven't cracked all the code yet. If any other guy shows up to play, I'm just going to knock him in the head anyway. What are you doing here? Get out of here. It's not your game. But I want to know. There's a way about her. I know how she will react in this situation and this situation. Like I say, we've been married 35 years. I know what she likes. Question, favorite food? Brownies. For 100, that was easy, okay? I would do the daily double on, like, favorite anything, okay? I know how she is. Saying, why are you telling us all this? Listen, God has a way about him. And like me and Sue's, like, if I spend a lot of time with her, I get to know her more. She's not like any other woman. Guys have ways, too. They're kind of, there's no code, though. It's pretty straightforward, okay? It's not really a mystery. Now, God has ways about him. Listen to me. Listen good. I got an email, okay? And it was like, this lady was saying, the pastor won't marry my son and his fiancée because they're living together. If we come to your church, could you perform the wedding? Now, I want to know about God's way. I don't have a verse for that. I don't have a verse for that. Do you know sometimes in Scripture, when somebody's sinning, you know what they need? They need to be held with their feet to the fire, and they need to, like, they don't need you to cushion their fall. They need to go splat so they will smarten up, you wake up, smell the coffee, and repent. Sometimes when somebody else is doing that exact same sin, you know what they need? They need love. They need forgiveness. They need mercy. They need us to come around them and prop them up. So how do you know when to do which? I mean, because here's the ways of God, right? We think about God and we think about, like, okay, what is his ways? Thou shalt not, fill in the blank, lie, steal, commit adultery, envy, murder. Okay, he's all about the great thou shalt not in the sky, right? Now we've got him all figured out, right? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't even work with me and have a relationship with me. What am I? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not blow smoke rings in my face. I hate it when people smoke around me. You can't smoke around me, right? Thou shalt not play country western music in my presence. I'm not all about country western music. Don't play it in my presence, right? So that's all I am. So all you know about me is don't do this, don't do this, don't. You don't know me at all. I mean, you really don't. If that's all, so we don't know God's ways just by defining him with thou shalt not. He's merciful. He's good. He's gracious. Sometimes when you take like, okay, so when somebody emails you and asks you a question about attending your church, what does the Bible tell us about email? What does the Bible say about like the idea of different churches and people doing church hopping? I mean, we got to take the Bible principles and we have to apply them. But you know what is really good? To know God's way, his heart, how he is, how he thinks, you're never gonna know it perfectly. Like I'm never gonna know my wife's heart perfectly because we have this gender thing, right? I'm trying to crack the code. But I've always said men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I know that isn't original with me, but it's also true, and I'm learning conversational Venusian, but I'll never be it'll never be my first language. It's never, the default button's never, it's always set on me, a man, the way I am, the way I think. If I know a few phrases enough to get by, I'll stop trying to reinvent her to be like me. I'd appreciate her way. Now, we're not going to make God like us, and we're not going to understand him, because now, instead of a gender issue, there's a humanity God issue. We can know a lot of things about him, but you can't. There's always more. I think eternally we'll be knowing him more and more, deeper, more intimate, more personal all the time. But I can't wait. Right now I want to serve him. Right now there's some things I want to know about him. I want to know his ways. I think this is what David's saying. I don't think he's saying, Lord, teach me all your do's and don'ts. Teach me the regulations. He's got the law. He's got Deuteronomy. He's got the book of Numbers. He's read through Leviticus. You know what I mean? They had to copy it out. All the kings, when they took over as king, they had to copy out the whole law by hand. He would know that. He has priests around him. He has prophets around him to instruct him in the word. He's writing the word of God here. Okay, it's not that. When he's saying, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path, how do you react in this situation, Lord? What is it about you? How is this and what is this like? And I think he's, you know, that's we don't really articulate all the best, but we want to know God. Not just know about him, know him, like know him, you know what I mean? I think that's what our boy David's saying here. You with me? And it's a recurring theme. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Again, the recurring theme of waiting. You're the God of my salvation, the God of my deliverance. That's why, you know, back in, I can say, let me not be ashamed, let my enemies triumph over me. You've delivered me. You've always delivered me. You're the God of my salvation. By the way, remember, salvation means deliverance in the Bible. It doesn't always mean deliverance from hell, i.e. eternal life, i.e. salvation, like you would think about it, saved and going to heaven. But it very often means that. Sometimes it just means rescue, deliver. And how do you know which one it is? I don't know, but I have an idea. If we know God's ways, then a lot of these questions that we ask will be easy to answer. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness, sake, O Lord. Remember not my sins, remember not my transgressions. I was young, I was stupid. Of course, that's redundant. Kind of put that stuff away, Lord. Just kind of forget all about it. We have to twist God's arm on that? No, he's all about that. David prays it several times during the Psalms. I've prayed that. I know God's taken all my sin and washed it in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know all that. I know that. But I still pray that. You know? Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. We were talking about this earlier, yesterday. We went down Old Port and we were walking around. We were talking about this. We were talking about our horoscopes. We're talking about our signs. I'm a Scorpio. What kind of sign is that for a Calvary Chapel pastor to be? My sign is a scorpion, you know what I mean? What's up with that? But hers is Libra, so I was needling her about it, you know, justice, you know. And she said, oh, justice is good. I said, we don't want justice. We want forgiveness. We want mercy. She says, we want justice for everyone else. And I said, fair enough. But isn't that the way it really is, though? We want justice for everyone. We want mercy from God. We don't want justice. Again, we storm into God's presence, I demand you give me everything I've earned, we end up in hell. No, we want mercy. And by the way, we've said this a lot of times, the only reason God can give us mercy is because of the cross. Otherwise, he's just one of those soft judges who we all don't like, who's, you know, kind of hinky on, oh, you poor boy, you ran in with a bad crowd. We don't like judges like that. God's not that judge. Righteousness has been satisfied in the blood of Jesus Christ. Always remember that. There's a reason why we ask for mercy, because we put trust in the blood of Jesus. And that's why we can look and earnestly say, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. You know, blot out my transgressions. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. There it is again, the way. I see this several times during this. What happened to me? Well, I was going to hell, fat, dumb, and happy. Actually enjoying the ride, if you will be honest about it. And he caught me into his web of love. He showed me his way. I didn't have to earn my way to heaven. He would give it to me as a free gift. That's his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. In his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, if you're going to live like a rebel, you won't know his way. You won't know a lot of stuff. I think a lot of times people are praying for the will of God, that's kind of conditional on one. You know, I always felt like this. Like, I'm praying, Lord, show me your will for my life. I think always I always feel like God's asking the question, will you do it? Well, show me. No, will you do it? Well, how do I know that? Show me and we'll find out together if I'll do it, right? No. Well, I'm all about me, Lord. I'm all about my cause and promote my agenda, and I've got my own ambitions and my own desires, and they may not coincide with yours. He says, I won't show you nothing then. Now, when we come to the point, Lord, my will is to do your will. I've got an agenda. It's advancing your kingdom. My agenda is all about your glory. It's all about you and your incredible son, Jesus Christ. That's what my life's all about. Now, will he show me his will? Oh, yeah, I think so. That's the way it's kind of played out in my life, to a very large degree. Now, will he show me his ways, teach me his path, all that stuff, give me a 5-year plan? No. I just generally know the next step to take. And I think he wants it that way, one day at a time, so I'll show up and get a fresh plan the next day. I really think so. Sometimes he draws it out. Sometimes I kind of figure it out as I'm going along, you know, moment by moment. But I think even then he wants me to trust him moment by moment. Yep, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. You see, there's a little bit conditional there. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. He said the same thing in verse 7 when he's talking, according to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. You know, Lord, your reputation is enhanced by, one, the fact that I was a reprobate, and two, by the fact that you've changed me, you've redeemed me. You know what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Who else can make you a new creation other than Jesus Christ? Because out there, you know what, they talk about this like, oh, he's one of them reborn Christians, you know, which tells me they don't know anything. And they're talking about it like you turned over a new leaf. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. You're being recreated in the image of Jesus Christ, by the way, glorifies God tremendously. You know, people look at me and say, oh, I'm preaching the gospel. If they remember me from old, they're thinking like, what is going, God must be for real or something. You know what I mean? I remember the change when it happened the most, when I was in the Marine Corps, when I was in this squadron, okay? Fixed Wing Marine Attack Squadron 211, A4Ms, they're way retired now, okay? Single-seater, single-pilot, single-engine, bomber. It was phased out. Hornets F-18 came in and replaced them. I know all that's very, very terribly important to you. But when I was there, like, the people who saw, like, you know, reprobate, saved version, and it was dramatic and it was different, they were like, what's going on? It's crazy. And it was dramatic and it was different. I praise God. It glorifies him to pardon our sins. And that's what he's saying here, Lord. For thy name's sake, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. He shall choose. It's not the man. It's God doing the choosing, right? Fear the Lord. God's going to teach you the way that he wants you to go if you fear the Lord. Again, it's conditional. I'm not going to tell you if you're just going to, Jesus said, I'm the one who taught against casting your pearls before the swine, right? If you want to just, you know, take these pearls, trample them, and then turn around and attack me, I'm not going to cast my pearls before the swine, right? It's conditional. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to fear you, Lord. Will he show you his ways? I guarantee you he will. This is what the verses are telling us. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. His soul shall, it says dwell at ease. It really literally means in goodness, and his seed, that's to say his descendants, shall inherit the earth. But we already looked at that in verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment. Meek are going to inherit the earth, right? That just closes the loop. Your descendants, physical descendants or spiritual descendants? Your physical descendants who don't trust in the Lord aren't going to inherit squat. I think he's talking about spiritual descendants. But for the upright man, you know, you train up children the way that they shall go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I mean, there's still that promise too, so. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Is the secret of the Lord the same as the ways of the Lord? I think so. Are they the paths of the Lord? I think so. I think this is all, listen, God's going to, as you go, as you let him lead, as you fear him, as you're humble, as you're meek, as you're seeking him, as you're yielding to him, will he develop this idea and will he show you? Will he lead you in this? Yeah, I think so. I think the secret, the thing that he doesn't tell everyone, that he'll tell you. The secret is of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The idea, feet are big in Scripture, okay? Not big feet. Women don't like that, right? Hey, big feet there, sister. No, women never get, they don't like that, right? Feet are big. The idea about feet in Scripture are big. And it has the idea of you're standing, okay? Look at how it ends in 26. My foot standeth on an even place. Like he's established my footing. Look at verse 1, the end of verse 1 of Psalm 26. I shall not slide. That's the idea of backslide. Not good footing is the idea. So when he's talking about my feet here, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. So people who want to trip me up, they want to snare me, God's going to deliver me from that, okay? Feet are just a picture of where you're going, what your walk's all about. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Again, another call for mercy. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. He's saying the same thing very often, but he's saying it different ways. And he's framing it different, and he's using different words. But a lot of times it's like, Lord, bad stuff is happening. Please help. But they're more poetic than that. But is that the way it is with you and the Lord? And once you said, Lord, help me out, that's it? Now, amen, now you're done? No, you re-say it, you come at it a different way, and you keep at it until you feel like you've said it, and it's all everything that's in your heart is out now, and you feel like you've kind of made a connection, you've said, and I don't think it's like poetic phrasing or magical potion, or you got to push the right buttons to maneuver God into the way. I don't think it's anything like that. I just think it's David is just pouring out his complaint here. He's just pouring out his heart. And he happens to be a very poetic. My prayers aren't very poetic. I'm not a poetic person. I mean, I can be. That's hard work. I don't like, poetry doesn't flow out of me. You know what I mean? You can tell by the way I talk, you know. I'm not, can I write poetry? Yeah, sit down and struggle and every word is, you think of it and over and over, and yeah, I can be poetic. But David, I think it's just coming out of him because this is the way he is, and he's just pouring. I don't think he's trying to be poetic. He's just pouring out his heart to the Lord. And so many of these ideas, they're recurring because he's saying the same thing. He's like you do, like I do. Like you know, when we're up against it in a certain issue, we just keep bringing to the Lord's attention. Or maybe we'll say it slightly different, but that's what he's doing, I think. But it's a very natural thing to do. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou out of me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Look at, he's talking about his trouble. He's talking about his affliction, and he's talking about his sins all at once. Is one leading to the other? Very probably, very possibly. Does that happen in your life? Mine, very often. If I'm in a pickle, sometimes it's not a pickle of my own making. Very often it is. I said this before, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Now what happens? You messed up, you ran through a lot of stop signs, you were rebellious, and now you're getting your comeuppance. Your sin has found you out, and now you've got to pay the piper, and you don't want to. So what do? You repent, and you repent, and you repent some more. You apologize. You cry to the Lord for mercy, for forgiveness, for deliverance. That's what I do. I wouldn't recommend anything else. Now, he can be all stoic about it. Well, Lord, I messed up. Well, I'm going to get my comeuppance, and that's all there is to it. I want to be merciful. I want to be forgiving. I want to be like all about grace. You don't deserve it. That's the whole point. We already talked about that. We go into God's presence, demand what we got coming to us. No, we need a gospel of grace. It's the only one that works. If you've already been like me and you've already messed up, what do you get at this point? I'll do better? No, mercy, Lord. I need mercy. I need grace. Adam, you don't deserve mercy. I know, that's the point. That's why it's all of grace. Like I say, it's the only gospel that works. So he's saying, you know, look upon my affliction, my pain, forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies. Are they there because of his sins? I don't know. I will say again, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Sometimes your enemies have nothing to do with your sin. Sometimes your enemies have to do with your righteous stand for God. All you have to do is show up and love Jesus Christ, and you're going to have enemies you never even dreamed of. You know that. You know, blessed are those who are, you know, harassed, basically, right? Persecuted, harassed for righteousness' sake. But we're told to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Now, we don't have to comment on most of these verses. They're the same as before. I just want to talk one thing. Integrity, that's here and again in chapter 26, verse 1. Well, we'll pick it up there then. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Okay, Psalm 26. Again, this is a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Judge me here. He's vindicate. Judge me and absolve me. I want to be vindicated in judgment is the idea. He's not saying like, you know, when we talk about God judging his enemies, that's not a good day for the enemies of the Lord. And he's not talking about that. For I have walked in my integrity. Let's talk about integrity. You know the word integer, right? Not fractions, whole numbers, single numbers. This is integer, single. He's talking about singleness of heart, integrity. My whole heart is about you, Lord. I have walked my integrity. He's not talking about sinlessness. You got to understand Scripture sometimes. You say, oh, Lord, I've walked in my integrity, therefore you should vindicate me. I've been sinless, and they said I've sinned, so make this right. That's not what he's saying. David never talks about his sinlessness. That would be futile and stupid, and he's not a stupid man. Let's not talk about our sinlessness. Can you have integrity and be a sinner? Yes. Yes. That's David. He's a man after God's own heart. He's not following after abominations, false gods. You know, David sinned before his God, and David repented before his God. He never changed gods. Now think of Solomon. Could Solomon talk about the integrity of his heart? No. When all his women that he had, they stole his heart away, and he went and he followed after these other gods. Solomon didn't have integrity of heart. David did. And here he's talking, oh Lord, I've walked in my integrity, and I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. The idea is backslide. And it means like where your feet aren't on stable ground, they're on like miry clay, and you slip sliding away is the idea here. Examine me, O Lord, the same as judge me. You know, I want you to check me out, Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. He says this in several times, like most notably Psalm 139, right? Try me, O God, know my every thought. Here he's saying, examine me, O Lord, prove me. Try my reins in my heart, in the inmost parts of my being, where only you can see. Well, view it. Look at me. See what's going on in there. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. A great thing to be able to say. I've walked in your truth. And we talked about truth this morning a little bit. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Vain persons there is like people who trust in vanities, specifically idols. That's what he means. I haven't walked with idolaters. How can you? You're not walking together. You're going in opposite directions. How can you? That's what we say, you know, when Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he's talking about like, you're not dating, you're not marrying, you're not going with, you're not courting, you're not hanging out with unbelievers in the sense of fellowship. You can hang out in the sense of, Jesus did, in the sense of ministering, but not fellowship. You're going in opposite directions. Remember, Paul writes this, what concord hath the Lord with Belial? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Yeah, you're going in opposite directions. David knows that in the Old Testament. David never read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but he says, I ain't hanging around with idol worshipers. I know I don't go to their feasts. I don't bow to their gods. I don't do what they do. You know, they become like their gods, and I don't want to be like their gods. So I'm going in opposite directions. So I have not sat with vain persons. Sat is the idea like sit down and hang out with. Neither will I go with dissemblers. What's a dissembler? A hypocrite. Someone who acts one way and it's actually not that way at all. I haven't hung out with those type of people. Again, minister to them, preach to them, call to them to repent, hang out with them. That's not a good idea. Why? David knows something that a lot of us don't know. If you have a dog, right, and you let him run with wolves, he won't domesticate the wolves. He'll become wild like the wolves after a while. It's our more base nature. Remember at the end of Nehemiah where the children of Israel are marrying with these foreign people, and they didn't learn the language of Israel. They always learned they couldn't speak that, because that's a truth. They'll learn to speak world speak. You got a mom and a dad who want to pull in the same direction, right? The kids, they think they got a choice, and kids are smart enough to play one parent off the other. Well, I don't have to go to church. Dad doesn't go to church. And there you go, right? They don't learn the language of the Lord. They learn the language of the world. David knows that. He's saying, I'm not hanging out with those people. I'm not gonna be like them. I'm not gonna fellowship with them. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I hate it too. The congregation, not the evildoers themselves. I mean, God so loved the world, we want to love the whole world, but we want to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. We don't want to fellowship with that. We like that domestic dog, will start acting like a wolf if we run with the wolves. That's what's going to happen. We're not going to hang out with a pack of wild men and they're going to become holy and righteous like us. the proclivity is towards the world. David knows it. Paul knows it in 1 Corinthians. Now you know it and I know it. And that's good. We have to know that. I hate the congregation of the evildoers. I'm not going to sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in my innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I want to be like them. I want to reprove them. I want to speak to them. I want to publish all thy, what does it say? That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. What are all his wonderful works in life of David? Deliverance after deliverance. Deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. What are the wonderful works of the Lord in your life? Deliverance after deliverance after deliverance after deliverance, if you're paying attention. You've trusted in him. Are your enemies ashamed? I think so. Are you ashamed? Not if you've trusted in him. Do you have wonderful works to tell about the Lord? Listen, we've all got our God story. We've all got times when he showed up and rescued us. We've put our trust in him and we weren't ashamed. Maybe it took a long time. Maybe it took a lot of tears. Maybe it was a big heartache. Maybe it was a big struggle. But at the end, you know, he wins. And we have a story. We have a God story. We want to publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of his wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Look, I hate the congregation of the wicked. No, but I've loved the habitation of his house. I love to get together with the people of God. That's a wonderful thing. That's a blessing in my heart. I mean, it really, really is. I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place wherein thy honor dwelleth. Where's God? That's where I want to be. You know, I don't say much. I'm going to say it now, okay? You're the Sunday night crowd. I don't like the fact that a lot of people don't show up Sunday and Wednesday night. Now I'm not, I'm no one's judge. You got to understand. Listen to this pastor's heart. Okay? Other things are more important. Well, I get family. I get that. You know, and so family takes precedence sometimes. Sometimes people just are not. I'd rather do a lot of other things. My thinking is I want to minister. I want to be there. Maybe somebody's going to need prayer. Maybe, well, I'm going to teach the Word of God. But before I was teaching the Word of God, I always want to show up. I always want to be able to fellowship with somebody. I always want to be able to talk with somebody. I always want to be able to pray with somebody. I wanted to go to I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwells. And then the other part of it was like, that's where your people are hanging out. And I want to be with your people. I want to be worshiping you. And I want to be able, like I say, to maybe be Johnny on the spot. Maybe somebody needs a hug. Maybe somebody needs a shoulder to cry on. Maybe somebody needs them to stand with them in prayer and to help them out in a situation. Maybe someone needs that word fitly spoken. But that was my whole thinking. I just want to be with the people of God in the house of God. And I don't believe God lives there. I say that in a sense where, you know, where the people of God are, that house of God. I want to be there doing what I feel like God wanted me to do. And it kind of bothers me. I mean, like I say, I'm no one's judge, and I don't want to browbeat people, and I don't want to lecture people. And I'm glad that anyone shows up ever. I'm really happy about that, you know what I mean? But I know that like, a lot of times people think they got a better plan than God. So what are they? They're sitting home, they're watching what? God knows what? Some what, friends? I've seen this one 117 times. I think I'll see it 118 times. This is the one where the Jerry Seinfeld soup Nazi episode, wherever I... And like, you know, okay, yeah, I went over to help my mom, you know, she's old and she's, you know, and I took her shopping and I, you know, and she had a, yeah, okay, you're taking care of your elderly, God bless you, that's a wonderful thing to do. But I'm just wondering, like, sometimes I think people are just like, yeah, church, do I have to go? No. Should you wanna? Well, it's saying, I have loved your habitation, your house, and the place where your honor dwells. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Why? Because we already said I hated the congregation of the evildoers. I don't walk with those kind of people, those idolaters, those dissemblers. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Again, singleness of heart, not perfection, not sinless perfection, singleness of heart. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Again, his foot standing in an even place, it's the idea of stable, stability. His walk is stable. Why? He's not hanging out with people who are mischief makers, bloody men, idolaters, and dissemblers. He's in the house of the Lord, the place where God's honor dwells. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Get it? Now, I'd be remiss. Again, I don't want to go off on somebody and stuff like this, but I'd be remiss. This is what the whole psalm's about. Lord, I'm not over there with them. I'm here with you. My heart has integrity. It has singleness. The singleness, that one focus of my whole life, Lord, that's you. Look, I don't care where you are. The one focus, the one integer, the integrity, the one focus of our life, Jesus Christ. Anything else? Can I say this? I don't know if I can say this like a gentleman, but I want to say it. It's certainly true. Our focus is Jesus, or it's idolatry. Anything less, our focus, if our life's about anything less than Jesus, that's an idol. You have got to be turning from idols. You of all people, I mean, we're the people who say we love and serve Jesus Christ. We can't be serving idols at the same time. Good stand, let's pray. The kids will come and, the kids, how cute are they? Let's pray. Lord, I think we've heard clearly from your word. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for these ones who are here, who are always here, Lord. They bless my heart, they really do. But I bet they bless yours as well. Now, the things that our brother David has said, Lord, you know, deliver us from our shame, from our sin, from the transgressions of our youth. Let us not be ashamed. We wait on you. Our confidence, our hope, our trust is in you. Lord, and because of this, show us your way. Show us your path. Lead us in your truth. Bring us closer to you, Lord. For your great honor and glory, we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.